Let's read point four on the outline from the first session so that we can complete the fellowship from the first session. So that's your outline number two. Your outline number two. And on the second page we have Romans 4. The New Testament pays much attention to teachings for parents and does not pay that much attention to teachings about being children. Both Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3 put more emphasis on parents than on children. Sisters, please read A. Amen. Actually, this means that parents need to experience the cross. It's interesting that the instruction is only to the children as, children, obey your parents. That's all it says. Obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. And there's a promise for blessing. It's the first commandment with a promise. But to the fathers, and it's also interesting that the admonition is to the fathers, not to the mothers. Fathers, don't provoke your children. Do not provoke your children to wrath. You know, it's very easy for fathers to react in such a way that elicits a counter reaction. So there's a situation with the children, then we react in a certain way. Now, what we really want to do is deal with the situation. If you think about it, what you really want to do is use this situation as a way to discipline them in such a way that there's fruit that this same behavior would not be repeated. You want to do something now for later. But many of us in the moment are not thinking about this. We just react. In the home life, it's very easy to react. You know, Brother Lee, many times. I was there under Brother Lee's ministry directly for about 25 years. From the time I was 14 years old, I heard many times he would encourage us. Wait 5 seconds. Just wait 5 seconds. Call on the name of the Lord. We hear this, we say, amen. But then when in the moment, it's very hard to wait even 5 seconds because we forget and we react. And those reactions actually draw counter reaction. And then we react to the reaction by reacting. And it's not what we really want. Neither with our spouse nor with our children. But that was really wise what Brother Lee said. Wait 5 seconds. Call. Can we call? Can we apply what we hear to our home life? Can we apply that? A lot can happen in those 5 seconds when we're under the Lord's dispensing. You know what? Not only in those 5 seconds can our anger be dissipated a little bit, but also some wisdom could come. How to say, not just what to say, both what to say and how to say. You could have some anointing. Can you imagine in the middle of that situation, you can have anointing? Of course, because we're God-men. Under God's dispensing. The dispensing didn't stop when your child had a tantrum. Even here, we can be God-men. I'm not saying it's easy. It takes practice. But I am saying it's possible. It is possible. And then, you know, the main thing when we're disciplining our children, the goal is to touch their conscience. You know, their conscience, even though they're children, not regenerated. Of course, even regenerated children, you have to deal with them. But I'm saying when the children are younger, their conscience, we're all the time educating their conscience. We're training their conscience. You know, that's their spirit in function. When their conscience is operating, actually that's their spirit functioning. They're learning to exercise their spirit by exercising their conscience. If you can touch a child's conscience, you win the battle. It's very possible to deal with a situation. You dealt with behavior, but you didn't touch their conscience. Then I would say, chances are this behavior will be repeated because you didn't get to the root. So if we could exercise to build up their conscience, which is actually part of building up the proper humanity. You'll see tonight, even in this lesson, there's a strong emphasis on building up the proper humanity. That's basically what we're doing for the first 10 years of their lives. We are, to take the example we used last night, shaping the vessel. But not only shaping the vessel, fortifying the vessel. When we talk about shaping the vessel, we have the sense of clay. It's very soft. But actually, in some respects, we want them to be strong. We want them to be emboldened to withstand what comes from the world and to withstand the temptations of sin. For that, they have to have some, what we say, backbone. Right? They have to have some strength in their will to choose what is right. All of this is what we're doing in our discipline and in our training. Yeah. So, coming back to the outline, in point B it says, Timothy's faith dwelt first in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice and was transmitted to him. C. Mary's poetic praise is composed of many quotations from the Old Testament, indicating that the Lord Jesus grew up in a family that was filled with the knowledge and love of God's holy word. And again, these are examples and patterns for us, both in Timothy's family and even the family of the Lord Jesus. Romans 5, together please. We must realize that the Christian life is a life of sowing. Everything we do is some kind of sowing. Amen. Brothers, A. Sisters, B. And I would say particularly to be careful in our speaking is to be watchful in our living. Saints, even our purchases, the way we spend our money, is a sowing to the children. How we spend our time is a sowing to the children. It shows our values, shows our priorities, our accommodating the schedule of the church activities is a sowing to them. They see what's important to mom and dad. They see that mom and dad put all the things of the church first. We Maybe in your family, you always have your family vacation. It's very good. This is something my wife always emphasized. We have to have a time where we're away with the children. Even till today, our children are all grown, and they have their own families, and two of them have their own children. But even till today, every year we come together for a week to keep the family together. So this is important, but never competing with the church's events. Never when the church has a conference. Never when there is some activity that they need to be involved with in their service. And this without words, sowing seeds into the children. And they grow up with that kind of pattern. And they will just repeat. They will just repeat and follow along. Okay, let's read the next point. Point six. This point, very important. God's ordained principle is that a father must have a life that is a pattern, an example to his children. Nevertheless, we must realize that the way our children turn out ultimately depends on the Lord's mercy. Amen. Brothers, 8. Sisters. Amen. Brothers. And sisters. Cannot think that if we learn all the principles, try to apply all the principles, this is a guarantee all our children will end up loving the Lord. It still is the Lord's mercy. We must apply what we see in Genesis chapter 2. We must till the ground. You know, this was the responsibility of Adam to till the earth and protect it. The children that are given to us under God's ordination, they are in our custody. We have to do our best to till the earth. That is, to work on their heart, that their heart would be soft toward the Lord. And we have to protect them from many things. But ultimately, everyone has their will. Everyone has their will. And they have their choice. So, everything depends on God's mercy. So, we have to do our best, but then we have to entrust them to the Lord. Now, what it's saying here is, if we don't do our best and they don't love the Lord, oh, we have to answer to the Lord for this. Because we gave the ground to the enemy. We gave the ground to the enemy. And there are ways, and we're going to see in the next outline in a few moments, that we may have unconsciously, while we were trying to love our children, raise them properly, push them away without realizing. And we'd like to expose the enemy this morning with some of these things. So we have to do our best, but we have to plug up all the holes. Using the analogy from last night, we have to close the back door We may not have realized that as we were trying to love our children, help our children, we actually pushed them out the back door. I've seen this. Very sad that some parents love the Lord so much, love their children so much, but in their zeal, trying to push the children to love the Lord, they lost their children. They lost their children. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. That even if our children one day would turn away from the Lord, they should not turn away from us. That is a very sad situation. I've seen that, where it was a package. It was a package. When the children decided, no, I'm not following the Lord and the church, they also distanced themselves from their parents because their parents didn't know how to relate to them outside of the church. I would say that's a sad situation. Even if they would turn away, if they have no heart for the Lord, they should always have the heart for you. And you become their link. You always become their link. So there's always hope. So in this lesson, this is what we're going to talk about. How to build up that atmosphere in the home. That there's always that connection, an atmosphere of love. But ultimately, saints, we all have to respect the Lord's mercy. But we pray for our children. We pray for our children. And we trust God's word in Proverbs 22. That you bring up a child in the way that, instruct the child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn away from that. So we will have, just like this, many marks. Many marks. There are marks that are not home yet. They have not come back yet. But we're praying for them, and we're waiting patiently for every single one of them. Amen. Okay, let's turn to the next lesson. I think we apologize for this error. I think your outline says lesson 5. Do you all have lesson 5? Yeah. It actually should be lesson 3. Okay, lesson 3. But please note, on the bottom of the page, bottom left-hand side, says lesson 8. And that is correct. That's on purpose. That's lesson 8 in this book. Lesson 8 in this book. I wanted there as your reference so that you know where to go to. Okay. Let's read the title. Cooperating with God for His move as parents entrusted with their children to cultivate and nurture them in the Lord. Okay. Together, Roman 1. Before the previous meeting, we read 2 Corinthians 6:1. That verse says, and working together with God. This point explains that verse. You know, we and God are bound together. I don't know if you did this, but when I was a child, I remember playing the three-legged race. You know the three-legged race? Yeah, Mary, come. Sorry, we don't have a rope. We could try it. Where you're bound together. And so when you walk, you have to coordinate. Imagine running this way. Imagine running this. Not easy. Thank you. But we, for raising our children, are bound together with God. Oh Lord, every step I want to take with you. You know, if you do that, you're in God's economy. Even at home. Even at 2 o'clock in the morning when the baby's making sounds like that. And you want to go to sleep, but the baby's, oh. Or bound together with God. I know maybe you don't think about this at 2 o'clock in the morning, but it's very possible. It's very possible. I still recall when I was in high school, I was living in an apartment with my parents on the first floor. And on the second floor was a couple, and they had 2 boys. And the second was just born. His name is Danny. The second was just born. And the baby's bedroom was above my bedroom, right there. And those saints actually were my serving ones. That couple were my high school serving ones. And my mother, oh, I don't know why she did this. My mother gave them a rocking chair. And they put the rocking chair in the baby's room. In the middle of the night, oh, he was a crier. For months, he wouldn't get into a regular schedule. He would not get into a regular schedule. So, at the nighttime, 2, 3, or 4, I could hear, and Sister Ada, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, crying like this, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus. And then she would start to sing. She would start to sing songs to the baby. And I'd fall asleep. I don't know if the baby fell asleep, but I fell asleep. Our sister, she was like this. In the middle of the night. Isn't that wonderful? Under God's dispensing. Because the only thing she could do is depend on the Lord in that period of time. So, I'm not saying it's easy, but I am saying it's possible. Yeah. Amen. God's heart is to carry out his economy. A, God's economy is not merely that we should be good, spiritual, holy, victorious. He desires neither a good man nor a bad man, but a God man. Instead of usurping God by praying for our prosperity, health, and family without any consideration of God's economy, we should pray, live, and be persons according to God's heart and for his economy. Saints, we should live our lives with our windows open toward Jerusalem. Do you know what I mean by this kind of funny talk? You know, when Solomon brought in the temple, when he dedicated the temple, he prayed this prayer. This is in 1 Kings chapter 8. He said, Lord, Lord, if your people go away from you, but they pray toward this house and toward this city and toward this land, answer their prayers. So Daniel practiced that. Daniel practiced that, we know. So Daniel prayed with his windows open 3 times a day facing Jerusalem. Saints, our lives should be facing God's economy. Even our children, the children God gives to us, we love them. But I have to say, I've witnessed this. I've witnessed young couples raised by us in the church life. They love the Lord very much, consecrated very much. Some of them, they even go to the full-timers training, come back, they serve, very good. Then they get married. Then, you know, in the wedding, they say the right things. We're all very happy. Oh, I want to open my home. Oh, we pray for them, we bless them. But you know what I've seen sometimes? When they have their first child, everything changes. Because the child becomes the focus of everything rather than Jerusalem. Of course you have to take care of your child. Of course they change the schedule. Of course it'll affect somewhat your meeting life temporarily. But I tell you, we have generations of older saints that they got their children on church life schedules as quickly as possible. I know in one place where in the meeting hall, they had, this was in actually in Puerto Rico, in the meeting hall on Tuesday night, you could see a row of blankets on the floor with all the little children sleeping there and the mommies in the prayer meeting. I'm not saying it's easy, but I am saying it's possible. And that doesn't mean you all practice the same thing, but the consecration should not change. The consecration should not change. The practice will change and adapt, but the consecration should not change. We should not usurp the Lord's blessing. We take the Lord's blessing, but then we go further away from Him than before the Lord blessed us. Yeah, we have to be careful about this. Point C, all things necessary for our human existence need to be under a divine limitation. I want to emphasize this phrase, a divine limitation. Anything that exceeds our needs becomes worldly, and it frustrates us from the economy of God's purpose. In everything, God's economy must be the deciding factor. You know, in Matthew 9, there's a story of the woman who had an ailment. She was hemorrhaging. And she went and she touched the fringe of the Lord's garment, and she was healed. You know this story. She touched the fringe. In Numbers 15, it talks about this fringe. You know, the fringe, of course, is the border. It's the hem. We call it the hem. It's sewn there. And in Numbers 15, I think it's verse 38 or 39, it talks about that on the fringe, which is, you know, the fringe is the limit, the edge of the garment. And on the fringe, there was a border of blue. There was blue sewn there. What does this mean? You know, the garment, your garment is for your daily living. It represents your works. You know, when I'm at home, I do not dress this way. I dress like this to go somewhere, to come to the meeting. Okay, so when you put on your garment, it's for your daily life. Sometimes if you're going to stay home, I mean, some people stay home in their pajamas all day. But if you're going to go out, put on your garment. Then you do have your living. Our living should have a limitation, should have a fringe. And that fringe should be blue. What is blue? The heavens. It's very interesting. The heavens should limit our walk on the earth. So wherever we go, there's a divine, heavenly limitation. Oh, I'm going to purchase something. Well, no problem. But do I purchase this? Oh, I have the peace. If I purchase, oh, look at this. It's a better quality. It's bigger. It's on sale. But within, blue. There's something blue there that's saying, if you buy this, you have crossed the limit. And if you would buy that and take that home, you're sowing seeds to your children. And you may not see the fruit, the coming out of that seed for 10 years. But in everything we do, there should be the border of blue, a divine limitation. Do you need a car? You purchase a car. But there should be a divine limitation. Do you go on vacation? You go on vacation. There should be a divine limitation, a border of blue. This sows the proper seeds to our children. Indeed, when God's economy is carried out among his people, they are blessed. Our welfare, our well-being, is linked to the carrying out of God's economy, and we should not seek our well-being apart from God's economy. We should not expect prosperity for ourselves. Rather, we should expect that through us, the Lord will do as much as possible to accomplish his economy. Amen. Let's read Romans 2 together, please. Amen. Let's read ABC, sisters, brothers, sisters. Sisters, please. Amen. Brothers?
When the children are young, they are in their hands, and can do nothing but trust yourself. If you are loose with yourself, you are also being loose with the devil. You must realize that parents must exercise self-control, sacrificing their own freedom to feed them.
Sisters. That's why, saints, we need to have a good neighborhood children's meeting so we can gain the outside children as early as possible. Because if we delay and these families come to the church later, the children will already be molded. Then when they come, sorry to say, they come with many problems. The younger we can gain the families, the better. And if we can gain the children of these families, we can actually get a head start in also shaping them. Then the benefit for the church in the future will be really immeasurable. So it really is a benefit to have the neighborhood children's meetings. We'll talk more about that this evening. Okay, in Romans 3 and 4, we come really to the main burden of this lesson. And you'll see, we can summarize in this way. Point 3 is on building up the proper humanity. Building up the proper humanity. Point 4 is about nurturing an atmosphere of love in every family. Okay, these are two very, very big points. Okay, Romans 3. We should nurture the children in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. We should tell them what a proper Christian is by teaching them the discipline of the Lord. And here we have 5 examples. I can tell you, these 2 points are drawn from the ministry of Brother Nee, Brother Watchman Nee. In the books that we have that are entitled Messages for Building Up New Believers, Brother Nee has many practical lessons, like baptism, like early rising, like dealing with the past, and so many things, the church meetings. But among all these lessons are lessons on marriage and lessons on parenting. And there's one lesson on parenting I really would recommend. There is some ministry here in chapter 8. I would encourage you to read that. But all the more, I would encourage you to read the whole message in Brother Nee's series, Messages for Building Up New Believers. And there's one chapter on parenting. Okay, let's look at these 5 points. These 5 points are not all-encompassing. They're not all-inclusive. But they are examples of what we should be doing with our children, how we should be building them up to be the proper vessels. On one hand, yes, we need to teach them the Bible. We need to teach them the stories. But as we teach, we should avoid the premature knowledge. Avoid the premature knowledge. And what is that? As we mentioned last night, that is knowledge that does not match their level. Does not match their level. Brother Lee even encourages us, when you tell a story, don't tell the whole story. You don't have to be that detailed when they're in level one, when they're 3 or 5 years old. You just tell them a little bit of the story and teach one practical lesson. One practical lesson. For example, the story of the feeding of the 5,000. I like to use this as an illustration. You know, this is a particular story. Almost everyone knows this story, at least a little bit of this story. The Lord has there's a big crowd following, it's getting late, and then the disciples say, send them away. Jesus says, no, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. And then they go, they find this, they go through to see who has, and they find, who had in the story? Who had something to offer? A little boy. And she says, a little boy. And he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is this little boy doing with 5 loaves and 2 fish? I have no idea. But he actually shared this with everyone. He shared it. He gave it to the disciples. And the Lord blessed it, broke it, and fed 5,000. Okay. This is also a unique story because it's one of the few that appears in all 4 Gospels. So people know this story. You know, in John 6, this story is mentioned. John 6. And in John 6, you find the verse, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. So we know that this story, the Lord is showing them, right, by feeding them, that actually, it's not about the physical food, it's about Jesus is the bread of life. And then he says, you have to eat me. This is a great revelation in the Bible. Jesus said, eat him. We can eat God. We can eat God. And then to make it practical, verse 63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. Oh, wonderful. Even more practical, it says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So, Brother Ron, have you ever used this verse to teach someone about prayer reading? John 6:63. I've used this. Okay. With the children, don't pray read. Don't use this story to teach them how to pray read. Don't tell them that Jesus is the Spirit and you have to eat God. Please don't do that. That's premature knowledge. Don't even say, oh, we can eat God. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. It's premature. For at least for a 4 or 5 year old, that's premature knowledge. Maybe when they're 8, 9, or 10, some of them are at the stage where they could receive. But for the little ones, you know what you should tell the little ones? Share. Emphasize the little boy. The little boy. Or another lesson. The disciples said, send them away. Jesus said, no. You give them something. So when someone comes to your house and they're hungry, don't send them away. Offer them a cup of water. I don't think the children can offer more than that unless they ask their mommy. But wouldn't it be something if that week all the children would go home and every guest, the little child would come, Uncle Ron, do you want a glass of water? Oh, Brother Ron would say, Wow, what a well-behaved child. He might say to the mommy, you're doing a good job. She might say, wasn't me. That's from the children's meeting. That would be marvelous. Or to share the food. Imagine the little boy. Imagine they come around. Does anyone have anything? And the little boy wouldn't share. No blessing to anybody. And then you know, this is a hidden fact there. The Lord tells them before he feeds them, tell them to sit down in companies of 50 and 100. That's Mark chapter 6, I think. Tell them to sit down in an orderly fashion. Did you know? The Lord would not feed them just throw the food. You had to sit properly. So you can teach the children. Children, sit down properly. Behave. No. You're too much over. Sit in your chair. Raise your hand. All that. You know what you're doing? Building up their humanity. You're using the same story, but at this level. When they get a little older, you can share with them how the Lord wants to be everything to us. But to do that, he had to go to the cross. He had to die so that he could feed us. But that's not till much later. To the little children, you can have all these stories and applications to build up their humanity. You're still teaching them the Bible. They still know a little of the story, but that's not the last time they're going to hear that story. So you can withhold some facts so that they can still be impressed with something later. If you tell them everything now, oh, this is the word Brother Lee uses, they'll become slippery. You know what that means? Slippery. That means next time you try to put something on them, it just slips. Because you say one word, they know the second word. You know one sentence, they tell you what you left out. Oh, no, brother, you didn't say it right. It's this way. They could correct you. And they might be right. But they won't be impressed. Because too much too soon. So we have to learn, we have to discern, even in our teaching. And these five illustrations are some of the things we should work on to build up the proper humanity. Okay, A. Brothers, could we please read A? Parents must help their children. We all have our human capacity. And we should encourage the children to, you know, they have their ambitions to be things. And we should know our children so that we can channel them in the right way. Their ambition should not be to make a lot of money. If that's their ambition when they're little, that means someone sowed something into them. Whether it was us, or the television, or some relatives, or from somewhere they got this. But we should channel their ambitions. You know, it's very noble to have an aspiration to be a doctor if you want to help people. To help people. Not because doctors drive Mercedes or something. Then that's not a noble ambition. We need to channel. And for that, we have to observe and know our children. To know how we need to shepherd them, right? The next one. Sisters, please. Many parents. This is something many parents concerning their children and their grandchildren without realizing we make some mistake here. to speak about their accomplishments. In one way, you can speak to strengthen their self-esteem, build them up, if you do that in private. But to speak like that in front of others builds up their pride. You have to discern. Then that has to do with the next point. Listen to the next point. A Christian needs to know how to appreciate others. It is easy to be victorious, but it's hard to accept defeat. When our children are defeated, we need to teach them how to accept their defeat with grace. You know, we have this phrase, sore losers. Sore losers. When you lose, you know, your sport here is ice hockey. I really like hockey. Sometimes. But you know what I really like about hockey? Is that after a 7-game series, they're beating each other up, and they all shake hands. You know, that tradition of lining up to shake the hands, I like to just watch that every time. Especially after a very hard fought series. You know, that there's some training there for the children. There's some training there. You know, sometimes they make a big deal about, will they actually shake hands because two people had a big fight in the middle of the series. We need to teach them how to be a proper loser and how to congratulate people. How to congratulate people. After the game, even you lose, to say this, good game. Good game. Well done. I'll get you next time. You could say that with the proper spirit, though. With the proper spirit. But do you know this is building them up in their humanity? Because, saints, in life, we always lose. In life, you will face many hardships. They will face many hardships. They will face many defeats. If they don't know how to lose, then they end up blaming everyone. It's never their responsibility. It's never their fault. And this comes from point B, because they're too proud. So we have to learn how to build up their self-esteem to a certain point, but not beyond, so that it becomes pride. This is more valuable than just teaching them stories in the Bible. Actually, we can use the stories in the Bible to teach them this. We're building up their humanity, teaching them how to be a proper human being. When they have this, then they come to the age of being ready for salvation, and they receive the Lord. Then they start to preach the gospel. People will respect them. People will respect them. The vessel counts. The vessel counts. Let's look at D. From their youth, we should give our children a chance to make their own choices. We should not make every choice for them until they reach the age of 18 or 20, or else it will be impossible for them to make any decisions when they grow up. You know, some parents, especially certain cultures, like to do everything for the child. Everything for the child. Because in the mind of some, the most important thing is your education. So you have to, everything's for your education. Well, the matter of building up one's education is absolutely necessary. But some parents may not realize that while they're doing this, they're not building up their humanity. So they do everything for the child. It would be very good if the little child just learned how to walk, year and a half, can take a spoon to the table to help mommy set the table. Can take their bowl back to the kitchen to put it in the sink. They can do this. Do you realize, little by little, you're building up their humanity? I've seen this in many families in the churches as I travel. The mothers would build this up. And then when they have the neighborhood children's meeting, their own children are their co-workers. Their own children are their helpers. The children come and set the chairs. The children tell the other little children where to sit. And they help with the craft. They become helpers. They're always like this because they learn this at home, bearing some responsibility. And this is connected to the next point. As Christians, we have to train our children to manage their things properly. We must give them the opportunity to take care of their personal belongings, to manage their own shoes, socks. I was so shocked when I saw this, socks. Brother Nee talks about socks. This is important when you talk about the children. You know, and so the children will maybe take their sock off. But how they handle their socks measures their proper humanity. And other affairs, let them know how things should be handled from their youth. So, saints, all of these things, when they're 1, 2, 5 years old, 6 years old, they all count. They all count for when they're older, then they can bear responsibility in the church life. Actually, not just the church life, they can bear responsibility in society. At work, it should be that our children are the best workers because we molded them to have the proper humanity. One more point about D. Let me go back to this point, D, about making their own choices. You know, when we're training our children to make their own choices, we are training them to bear responsibility for their choices. So if we told them that you must come home from school and maybe a reasonable time is 3:30 or 4 p.m. Oh, can I stay, be with my friend, visit my friend? Okay, you have till 4:30. But if you come after 4:30, then you will not be allowed to go to your friend's house for the next 2 weeks. So there's something very definite. So when they come at 4:31, you can tell them, oh, I see that you chose extra time today, and you gave up the 2 weeks like we agreed. So, in a sense, it's not your discipline. It's their choice. They chose this, and they have to bear responsibility for their choice. You see, in this way, again, we're building up their humanity. Building up their humanity. Okay, there are a lot of examples we could give here, but for the sake of the time, let's move on. Because I want to give you, I'm trying to give you 15 minutes for your sharing. Is it right we end this session at 12:15? Right? It's 12:15, right? Yeah, okay. Point four. Let's read together. The way a child grows up depends on the atmosphere in the family. They must receive nurturing love as they grow up and must experience love in the family. Half of the work of the church can be done by good parents. However, this work falls upon our shoulders today because there are few good parents. This is Brother Nee's word. A family must be filled with an atmosphere of love and tenderness. There must be genuine love. Parents must learn to be friends to their children. Never allow your children to distance themselves from you. Never make yourself unapproachable. Remember that friendship is built upon communication. It does not come by birth. You know, saints, the relationship of parent and child is not chosen. It comes by birth. I don't know how many times I've said to my children, especially my son, because I'm your father, that's why. Did you ever use this line? Why? Do this. Why? Because I'm your father. There's no choice. But friendship, we choose our friends. We choose our friends. So Brother Nee is encouraging us. Be someone whom your child chooses. Be someone whom your child chooses to spend time with. Be their friend. Friendship has to be fostered. Friendship has to be earned. So we need to have a dual relationship with our children. That doesn't mean you give up the parent relationship. There are times when you just must exercise your authority. But if that can be mingled with friendship, oh, I tell you, it makes the parenting a little easier. Makes the parenting a little easier. I encourage you to at least read the chapter here. Read the excerpts. In this portion, Brother Nee says, some children, when they do something wrong, they feel, oh, it's time to go before the judge. It means their father. They feel their father is the judge. It's like when you're walking home, you're heading either to the police station or the law court. I'm going home. I have to see the judge. Oh. But it should be, I have to tell my friend. That's a totally different feeling. Actually, if you have the feeling of friendship, already there's shame. Because it's like this. I let my dad down. I let my mom down when I did this. My dad's going to be so ashamed and my mom's going to be so hurt. That's a totally different feeling than just needing to confess what I did because I got in trouble. Saints, that takes building. It takes building up. The key is in the next point, the last point. The most helpful thing to children is for their parents to spend time with them. The more time the parents spend with them, the better. Sometimes we need to have free talks with them about wide-ranging subjects. We should allow them to join in our daily activities, and we should join them in their activities. I tell you, it's easier to do this when they're 3 than when they're 13. But if you do this when they're 3 and continue when they're 4, and 5, and 6, and on. When they're 13, they may not shut you out. But the phenomenon, and not just with our families, but with many families, is that at a certain time, maybe we just get too busy, maybe because we have other children and don't spend as much time, but at a certain time, it's very easy for parents to lose that. And then the family starts to go apart. One time I was having dinner with my family. My son made this statement. He says, Dad, I think we're the only family that I know that actually has dinner together. I thought about that. I thought, oh, but don't the church kids do this? He goes, not one. So I asked, what about this family? No, his dad works usually till 7. How about that one? There's this situation. How about that one? And they're not able to. And it's not to their fault. It's circumstances. And if you cannot have dinner together, then you find another way, another time to spend time with them. But you can't get around this. If we don't spend time with them, it'll just be like this. I know many teenagers, they come home straight to their room. Now, with the devices, with the computer, with their phone, they can communicate. It used to be you had to come out you know, this is back in the day, you had to come out to use the phone, and the phone has a string. Do you remember those? And then maybe they're like this. Then they make the, you know, handheld where you could actually take the receiver and take it to your room. And then mom and dad are looking, where's the phone? Where's the phone? Now, nearly all of them have their own phone. They're texting, messaging, not just using WhatsApp, they're texting to China, to Korea. You don't know, or they're playing these games against people in China or Korea. And they only come out to get food. And then they go back. It's like a dolphin or a whale. They come up, little air, then back down. You have to find a way to get into their lives. To foster the friendship. And then when we're together, we mold them to build up the proper humanity. Eventually, this vessel can really be useful to the Lord. Okay, I think we'll stop here. You still have some time for your responses. Amen. Could we take just a minute to pray? But maybe this way, let's pray together. But how about we just offer one sentence prayer and another one sentence, and we just pray one corporate prayer. We can follow one another. Amen.